This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. You're listening to the Steve Carino Show on placetobenation.com. Now, here's your host, the king of old school, Steve Carino.
Sipping a cup of hot black tea from the Carino Man Boy Cave here in Emerald Isle, North Kakalaka. It's the Steve Carino Show, and we are back. Starring me, Ken Carino, and the Boston Strangler himself, Dan McGinn. Steve Carino Show is brought to you every week free of charge through the Place to Be Nation. But if you want to contribute, head on over to ProWrestlingTees.com/Steve Carino and get now one of the six Carino-inspired t-shirts. That's right, six. I usually hawk four, but now we're up to six. That's three. If I'm right, let me do the math here. That's three Carino shirts, one American Tiger shirt, one Mr. Wrestling 3 shirt, and a PWF shirt up at the moment. That's six. No matter what, you don't even have to be Chinese to realize that that's six. And make sure you buy those t-shirts because I need the money, and so does American Tiger. He's at East Stroudsburg University drinking beer, putting on his freshman 15. So you buy a shirt, he drinks some more beer, and gets that college education that we so desire him to have. Hey, Allison Danger, former guest in Shimmer Star, is making gear now. You want to look like a star? Of course you do. Then head on over to Danger Designs. Email her your stuff and your design at Allie Danger. That's A-L-L-I-D-A-N-G-E-R at AOL.com. She'll take good care of you. Tonight's show, we got ROH star Cedric Alexander in the house. And this guy, he could have canceled. He's going above and beyond. There was some sort of thing with a storm or something that was caused his cable and internet to go out today, and that they're working on it right now. So the guy downloaded Skype on his phone, ran to McDonald's, and he's going to talk to us later on tonight. So, hey, it's in the news, and we, you know, this thing plays on Friday. So let's get it out of the way now. Dan McGinn, my man here, puts it up on the rundown sheet. It's the rise and fall of Ray Rice. Now, I'm going to preface this real quick. I don't like football. Never have. I don't know why. Just never got into it. I don't hate it. I just, I'm numb to it. I don't like it. I even have a family member that plays for the New England Patriots that I forgot to tell Dan about. He was going gaga over the Patriots on Sunday, and I'll bring him in just a second. But I don't like football, and I don't bitch about it online about, oh, it's football, I got 20 weeks of this, because you know what? MLB Network runs every 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and I'm sure they watch the same show over and over again. But I love baseball. That's my sport. That's the way I watch. So, and of course, somebody every once in a while does something real fucking stupid, and you know, it has to be punished. Last year, baseball went through the steroids with Ryan Braun and Nelson Cruz and Peralta and Melky Cabrera and all those guys. And, you know, there's no excuse you can make. But in football, this guy, Ray Rice of the Baltimore Ravens, beats his wife. Well, it was his fiancée at the time, but beats his wife and gets a 2-game suspension, which is bullshit to begin with. It's bullshit, you know, and I know that they've changed it. I read all the things. First offense now is 6 games, and the second is a ban. Now, TMZ Sports presents this new video footage of him knocking her out with a left. And here's my thought, and Dan, come on in on this one. How you doing tonight?
Good, Steve, and you?
I'm awesome. Awesome sauce. So Ray Rice gives his fiance slash wife left, knocks her out, drags her out. And what we saw in the video and the before of him dragging her out of the elevator, did you not think at any moment or any time when you saw that first video that he had knocked her out? We just didn't see it.
Yeah. I mean, you would have to be pretty dim to not realize what was going on in that situation. I mean, at first, when the story first broke, I believe there were some stories that, oh, maybe she was intoxicated and she sort of passed out. But just the way that she was completely dead weight, looking at those first videos, it was kind of hard to believe that something really didn't go down in that elevator. I'm kind of surprised, and maybe it's because guys wanted to keep this hush hush, or, you know, maybe some of the sources weren't being as forthcoming as we would hope in a situation like this. But you would have thought, well, heck, if there was a camera outside the elevator, certainly we would have noticed something going on inside the elevator as well. I'm surprised it's taken this long, but yeah, I mean, it's just a horrifying thing, and good for, I mean, I'm sure there's lots of opinions we can have about this, but, you know, justice was very swift in this case, and I could not imagine a situation in which Ray Rice took the field with the new camera angles, the new video, with all this new information coming to light. Anybody who could sit there and cheer for this guy if he took the field again would have been, you know, they're just as evil and as awful as the people involved. I mean, that's just a terrible, terrible thing.
It's absolutely a terrible, terrible thing. And her, you know, thing that her release, her statement release on Instagram today, Tuesday, was sad. Was absolutely sad that she was almost, she threw the blame on the media. You know, the media is making this bigger than it seems. No! There is video of you getting punched in the face into unconsciousness. That's the problem. And now it's going to cost them millions of dollars because, you know, of something that was between those two. No, he broke the law. You know, and for every idiot out there, and there's some on Facebook and that sit there and go, well, you know, he shouldn't lose his job because, you know, I wouldn't want my job to fire me if I beat my wife. You know what? That is such a bullshit cop-out thing in the world. I don't know how it works legally. I know with the NFL and probably Major League Baseball, there's the code of conduct and stuff like that. But I think about it in my situation that if I got in trouble doing something that Ray Rice did to my wife, do you think Ring of Honor would still have me around in open arms?
Oh, definitely not. Definitely right. Not. I mean, the thing that bothers me is looking at this, and there's lots of fingers and people to blame in situations like this, but the fact is the NFL is wrong for trying to sweep this under the rug, kind of give that kind of, as you said, bullshit punishment, the two games for something like this. Even without knowing all the information, you had to do your due diligence and uncover every stone possible before coming down with a judgment or a punishment. Second of all, you know, now you have like interviews, like Roger Goodell said that, well, we assumed there was video inside the elevator, but you know, we tried to get that sort of thing, but they were uncooperative. That's a lame excuse too. I mean, that's horrible. You know, that's, you're trying to protect the shield. You're trying to protect the brand. Maybe you're trying to protect the Baltimore Ravens organization. But whatever the case may be, they didn't do enough. And now it's like, oh well, he's suspended. Now that'll show him. It's like too little, too late, bud.
Yeah, absolutely. There is no case where that hitting a woman is justified. Okay, she's got a knife or a gun. How many times does that happen? And you have to wrestle it away from her. Come on, right? It's the fact that people will justify anything. I've seen things like, oh, well, you know, what did she do to provoke it? Well, what did she do to provoke it? You still don't hit a woman. You don't hit a woman at all, and it's just it kills me. It's just one of those things that, like, and anybody that justifies it is a fucking moron. You know, this man not only broke the law, but, like, you just don't hit a woman. And you know what? Making millions of dollars in a sport is a privilege. It's not. You know, you're not working at the local Kangaroo for $9 an hour. You know, you are in the public eye. You just need to, you know, use your brain, and that happens to a lot of guys. And the NFL finally stood up and said, okay, that's enough. It's six games for the first one, lifetime ban for the one. But it shouldn't get that far anymore. It's got to be, you know, guys got to stand up and be guys. Stop fucking hitting your women, you know. Act like a man. It just, it really, really bothers me. It makes me not, you know, want to, it doesn't make me want to watch football anymore. And I'm sure people that were, you know, on the fence of baseball last year, like, I don't want to watch it because of steroid stuff. It makes me crazy. Now, Dan, you're a big football fan, right?
Yeah.
And obviously you're a Patriots fan.
Yes, I am.
Yeah. Did you know that I have a relative that plays for the Patriots named Jimmy Devlin?
I didn't know that until you kind of let it out to me like that a few days ago. And I was like, wow, I mean, you would think, because we've been doing this show now for about 20 weeks, you know, we've had a couple bye weeks in between, but you would think over the last few months that you would have maybe have said something, knowing full well that I'm your token New England guy. Heck, I talked all in Boston for an entire segment last show.
Which was great.
So you would have thought that, I mean, again, there's probably lots of other things that I haven't told you yet, but I thought that probably would have been an obvious one. Now, it's not Tom Brady. It's not, Rob Gronkowski, although that would be super cool, too. But it is one of those kind of guys that's on the team that I think some of the casual fans might not necessarily know, but guys like me who follow the team would come to know and have enjoyed seeing his work ethic, his hard, you know. It's not a position that's a very glorified position in this day and age in the NFL. And I was really, I got a nice smile out of this. And you know what my smile looks like. I got a nice smile out of this news that you gave me. A
little million-dollar smile there. And yeah, it's funny because I've never met him. And like I explained to you before, he is my aunt, who my father's sister's husband's nephew.
Wow.
You know? So it's one of those, like, he's not a Carino, but he's on the he's on the other side of the family and stuff like that. So yeah, it's pretty cool, you know. And I guess he's doing good. And I'm looking down. I have to actually look at the standings for football, and I see the Patriots lost to the Miami Dolphins 33-20. Was that expected? Are the Dolphins supposed to be very good this year, or?
There was a very small contingent of media in this area that, and even outside of this area, that looked at that first game in Miami as being a potential trap right away for the Patriots. Like, otherwise, if you looked around, the conventional wisdom was that New England was going to do what New England usually does. You know, they'll trip and fall into 12 wins, and chances are, if they are dominant early and often with this revamped defense and with Brady having Gronk back and that sort of thing, that perhaps this could be another one of those teams that challenges for either an undefeated regular season or one of those 14-2, 15-1 type of seasons like the Pats have been known to do. But there was still a very small group that was thinking that, well, if they are going to stumble, it could be in Miami with it 90 degrees outside to start the year on the road. They always have trouble playing in Miami. They lost to Miami in Miami last year as well. But then the closer you got to the game time, you would start to hear kind of the local yokels up here talking about how this should be a blowout victory for the Patriots. And it certainly was not that at all. I mean, they looked every bit as good and as defensively, they looked better than advertised in the first half. And then in the second half, Miami just, wow. I mean, for lack of a better term, they just whooped the Patriots' ass. That's basically what happened. I mean, they outscored them something like 23-0. The Patriots were constantly 3-and-out, 3-and-out. And anytime they had a big play, they got called for a penalty. And I'm not putting this on the referees at all. I'm just saying that they had no rhythm. They had absolute. They looked like they needed another week of preseason. Yeah, in that second half. So it was a very eye-opening game, and now the kind of spin up here is, Well, you know, maybe they just needed that little kick in the ass, and now they'll have that motivation because then the coaching staff will be able to tell them, hey, don't believe your press clippings. This is going to be a long season.
Yeah, it's should be interesting. I just looked at the Eagles won. They're 1-0. Carolina's 1-0. So that's all I need to know. I really, you know, I'll watch the Super Bowl. I just could never get into football. I couldn't get into it when I was a kid. You know, when playing football and stuff like that. I never liked it. I think because I had older friends and they would always, you know, tackle me way too hard.
I'll tell you what, Steve. I mean, I remember you. I took a picture of the jersey I was wearing on Facebook, and it got some attention on Facebook and Instagram. And you liked it, so and the fact that I was already kind of, you know, tipsy from the rum and coke that I had. Yes, I had a rum and coke this weekend. But I'm okay. I'm all right. Anyway, what I was gonna say is. It got me thinking that maybe if you were going to get into football, perhaps the Patriots are the way to go. Now, of course, after this last loss, you know, right now there might be some seats on the bandwagon, but I just looked up online. You can get, off of NFL Shop, you could get a James Devlin number 46 jersey for the Patriots, and it will only cost you a swell $99.95.
Jeez.
That's basically like 11 months or so of the, if I'm doing my math right, of the WWE Network, but you can support your cousin and you can jump on the Patriots bandwagon. Why not?
Oh, can I just buy a hat and draw a number 46 on it?
Oh, you could do that too, I suppose.
Okay, I'm going to go on. You know, this is what we're going to agree upon this week. I will jump on the bandwagon. I will be a Patriots fan all year.
All year?
All year.
Because you were kind of a free agent. You could have gone to the Eagles. You could have gone to Carolina, Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, I mean, the Washington racist. I could have, you know, I'm kind of in the middle of all these players, you know.
Well, welcome aboard, sir. You know, hopefully, I mean, the Patriots have not had a season in which they were under 500 since, I believe, 2000. Or 2000, you know, the 2001 season, the first year basically Belichick took over. So we'll know what the reason would be if they did fall back down to the bottom of the standings this year. But we're certainly glad to have you aboard.
Well, thank you very much. Let me see here. I'm gonna Google. For all you Patriots fans like me and Dan out there, we are going to we are playing. When are we playing? Let's see here. We're playing Sunday against the Minnesota Vikings at 1 p.m. Yeah, that's gonna be a win. I'm gonna say it's gonna be a win. It's gotta be a win.
That's actually a fascinating matchup, Steve, and I'll tell you why. The Patriots, of course, you know, have Tom Brady, but the 1 year that Tom Brady got hurt and injured his knee, in stepped in a quarterback by the name of Matt Castle, who improbably led the Patriots to 11 wins, but they just missed the playoffs that year. And Matt Castle is now the starting quarterback of those Vikings, so it's going to be Castle versus Brady in that matchup, and surprisingly enough, Minnesota's coming off of a big win. They crushed the St. Louis Rams last week, and so it's the Patriots who will be looking to avoid going 0-2 in that matchup.
Oh, man. When am I allowed to jump off the bandwagon?
Well, you just said you were going to give me the whole season, so...
Okay, so I got to give you the whole season.
Yep.
All right, man. I'm looking through these guys. There's a lot of people that play football. How many guys are on a roster?
53.
That's a lot. Yeah. I wouldn't remember names.
Well, you know what? Even the people who say they're football fans probably can't name most of the second unit anyway, or the second string guys. So it's just the first string guys you need to realize, to learn and get
right
to know and.
Hmm.
Just know, though, everybody outside of this area hates Tom Brady. So,
really, why?
Because
doesn't he have sex with like supermodels?
He's good looking. He's married to a supermodel, like probably the most famous supermodel of all time, in Giselle. He wears Uggs. A lot of people get jealous of stuff like that.
Hmm. Oh, man. Yeah, I'm in. Okay, I'm in. I'm in the whole thing. Hey, did you get to watch Total Divas on Sunday?
I have not watched a second of Total Divas. And let me tell you, something, Steve, and I write Raw for 3 hours a night, or 3+ hours a night every Monday for PlaceToBeNation.com, and if Total Divas is anything like this current Diva versus, Bella versus Bella storyline on Raw, you can have it. I don't even want it.
I think it's way better than what they're doing on Raw with the Bella versus Bella, because, you know, it comes off more as a reality show and all that stuff. They introduced Rosa Mendez, who I had no idea who she was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I must not have, like, paid attention or something like that. It's crazy. That the angles that they're running on Raw with the Bellas is just, I guess, failing. People just don't want to see it. But I think it's like, if they would just put a little more seriousness in it, it would be better. Putting Jerry Springer with it was the kiss of death. That's just awful. Putting Lawler with it just comes off with a creepy vibe.
Can you believe that Jerry Springer was legitimately hurt during that melee, during that segment? Like, when he hit the ground, he, like, bruised some ribs, he twisted his ankle, and you can even kind of hear Stephanie was mortified after that was over.
Oh, what a puss.
Well, let me ask you this. I poo-poo Total Divas, and I know it's very popular, and one of our more popular columns on Place to Be Nation back during its original run was the Total Divas Talking Total Divas, and I believe those two are not going to be doing it again, so that might be an open roster spot on the old Place to Be Nation lineup. But anyway, with that said, are they doubling up too much with the whole, you know, teams breaking up? You have Bella versus Bella, you have Funkadactyl versus Funkadactyl. Is it a little bit redundant in that area?
No, because I think it's going to build to the drama of Total Divas. You know, they played a preview of, like, what's going to happen all season, and there's lots of drama. There's John Cena drama. There's Daniel Bryan drama. There's, you know, Eva Marie's dad's got, you know, a disease. I don't want to ruin it, but it is cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just so many cool things that is going on. I think the breakup things is just adding to all the drama of, you know, the show. I'm excited. I'm very excited for it.
Well, maybe you can write that column then.
I don't know about that. I just like to be excited. And it kills me because freaking Rob Dimension, you know, he picks it apart. Oh, the writers on here aren't as good as the writers. Oh, I don't want to hear about it. Can I just watch the goddamn show and enjoy it with my wife? Why do we overanalyze everything? We overanalyze every little thing when we don't have to. Let's just sit and watch it. Like, we're doing this podcast right now in my right shoulder. I'm watching, like, season 6 of Seinfeld on DVD. You know what I mean? I don't sit there and go, well, you know, I don't like how the placement of, you know, Reggie's Bar and Grill compared to the other one. Oh, I just don't fucking care. I just want to be entertained.
Oh, that joke fell flat. I'm going to take off 2 stars for that scene.
Yeah, just, I think we overanalyze everything. It's crazy. So, hey man, tell me, since we were off last week, where to find the Steve Carino Show?
You can find us. We are back after that bye week. We are here. And if you want to tell other people about us, you can find us at the following destinations. You can visit PlaceToBeNation.com and clicking on the Steve Carino Show banner or the PTBN podcast banner on the right-hand side. In addition, just by subscribing to the Place to Be podcast on your iTunes, you will automatically receive the latest episodes of the Steve Carino Show. You can also visit Stitcher.com and subscribe to the Place to Be podcast or download the Place to Be Nation podcast app by hitting up placetobe.podbean.com/mobile on your iPhone or iPad. Be sure to also visit us on Twitter. It's at Steve Carino Show. It's at Place2BNation. And like us on Facebook at facebook.com/placetobenation. Finally, that last segment, it is filled filling up every single week. And you can contribute to it with your questions and suggestions by emailing us at stevecarinoshow@placetobenation.com, stevecarinoshow@gmail.com, or tweet us at the aforementioned @stevecarinoshow. Steve!
Hey, when we come back, we're going to have ROH star Cedric Alexander join us. And he's a good guy. We're going to get into what he's been up to. And we also have some questions for him. So this will be a good interview. No one usually asks our guest questions. So when we come back, it's Cedric Alexander, and you're listening to The Steve Carino Show. It's bitten the dust. London calling. See, we ain't got no swing except for the rain.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly from Ring of Honor Wrestling. Make sure you check out The Kevin Kelly Show each and every week. We'll be talking about wrestling in the past and wrestling today, plus be talking about all kinds of sports and pop culture, whatever's on your mind, too. We'll answer your questions each and every week. The Kevin Kelly Show, right here. PlaceToBeNation.com.
Hey, this is Bauer from The Bauer Show, sports and more. You can check out The Bauer Show podcast every Wednesday and Friday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com.
The Bauer Show.
Chad, do you hate it when commercials one and run?
What do you mean, Parv?
Oh, never mind.
Listen to Where the Big Boys Play on PlaceToBeNation.com and find us on iTunes. We are the only WCW Supercard exclusive podcast.
Greetings, friends. Ben Morse from Place to Be Nation's Main Event here. Tired of other podcasts constantly stuck in the past? Every other week, we give you a roundtable discussion of what's happening in wrestling today. Place to Be Nation's Main Event. We're holding everybody else down.
Looking for something different in your pro wrestling podcast? Look no further than the Pro Wrestling Super Show. Join me, Stephen Graham, every week as I'm joined by a rotating door of guests as we discuss a single topic each show, ranging from ECW pay-per-view reviews, wrestler snapshots, top six lists, and anything else you can think of. That's the Pro Wrestling Super Show every week here on the Place to Be Nation.
So you got the script, yeah? You all got it?
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds terrible. The Titans are wrestling. Oh, brilliant. Sorry. The Titans are wrestling off.
Pete, I'm a lead analyst for a show at Breakdown Matches.
Kelly, lead historian. I'm a jobber lover. Are you?
Johnny and I drink.
And yes, me, Bob. We watch old school wrestling and love it.
Titans of Wrestling. You know you want to hear it.
Going straight to the hole. You ain't got no game. I'm breaking you out the frame. Coming through like a train.
And we're back on this week's edition of the Steve Carino Show. My guest this week is ROH superstar, heading over to England in a little bit. Just had a great match on the iPay-per-view with Jay Lethal coming up just that little bit short, but he did get the kick. Salisha Sparks right in the face, which was pretty cool. My guest this week, Cedric Alexander. How you doing, bud?
I'm doing great, sir. How about yourself?
I'm doing well. Now, right before we went in there, you said you just got done training, wrestling training, huh?
Yeah. I just got done beating up some new guys, which is always fun.
Now, was that like a George South class, or was that more of a High Spots class?
George South class, definitely. Okay. I like doing George's classes because, you know, he gets inspired by, like, he'll watch something earlier in the week that, oh, I remember this spot I did with Tiger Mask in 1985. I was like, oh, okay, George, you weren't wrestling around that time. But okay, sure, whatever.
And that's the thing. Like, George South is, for everybody that doesn't know him, George South, if you go back on the WWE Network and all the old TVs, you'll see George South pop up. He was an underneath guy for so many years, and he's trained a lot of great wrestlers, including Cedric. Jake Manning is basically one of his students, Zane Riley. Is Caleb one of his, too?
Caleb is one of his students.
Caleb Conley. So, like, you know, he's produced a lot of great talent that's out there right now. So, but George my wife was asking me if the cat was trying to get out of my man boy cave. And George kind of has his quirks, and which I think makes him even more charming. But it's funny, like, last year? Yeah, last year, my son Colby went and trained with him for, I think, one or two times. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I love training with him, but, man, like, George South is, he's something else, right? And I guess that's a great way to describe him, because he has his, like, his isms, and that's the cool thing, because he's not like a carny, but he is, he's just a 1980s wrestler, I guess would be the best way to describe him.
I completely disagree. I've known George for a long time. He is a complete carny.
Is he?
He's such a carny.
Oh,
really is. He's so,
awful to hear that.
Hold on. Let me clear that a little bit. He's like the best kind of carny you could be, because like he'll be a carny, but at the same time he will look out for you the best way he can. You know what I mean? It's he won't completely try to screw you over, but it's there sometimes. I would not lie.
It's got the chance of being there. Now, you broke in with him, what, 5 years ago?
I broke in with him May of 2009. So, yes, a little over 5 years ago. And
now, how did you get involved with him?
I'm sorry?
How did you get involved with Georgetown?
Okay. Well, it's kind of a long story, but to shorten it up, I went to some BS wrestling show in North Carolina when I was still a senior in high school. And the guy I talked to, Sweet Dreams, told me, hey, if you want to train, go to High Spots. And I was like, okay, whatever. It took me 2 years to go to High Spots because, you know, I promised my parents I would go to college and, you know, be that nice, upstanding gentleman and, you know, be a, you know, scholar or whatever you want to call it, or, you know, just a nice citizen. So I just went to college for 2 years. And then when I finally left college, I went to train with George, and just it went from there.
Now, I found it funny that like you've only been wrestling 5 years, because you've been in ROH for what, three?
Yeah, three.
Now, how did you get discovered by ROH?
Well, this is always a good story. The first time I had a match for ROH, I was literally about 6, maybe 8 months into wrestling. Mm-hmm. Me and Caleb Conley drove up to ROH when they were still in the HDNet TV tapings in the arena. And we had really just driven up there to, you know, deliver some DVDs from High Spots and do some, you know, some extra work, you know, like security stuff, help move rings around, whatever. And, you know, Caleb had been talking to Pierce at the time, who was the booker, and he had already worked out Caleb having like a pre-show match or something. And I remember Brett Albright didn't show, so
I remember that
they needed someone to step in and work Necro Butcher. No, I'm sorry, Brett Albright's opponent didn't show, and then Albright ended up not showing, and so they had to put an extra match on, so they put me and Necro on. And to me it was the funniest thing, because I remember walking up to Pierce, and he asked me, hey kid, can you bump? I was like, yeah. So he goes, who trained you? I said, George South. And to me at the time, George South was just, you know, an NWA guy who, you know, didn't get a whole lot of publicity. But then I said, George South. He's like, oh, I guess I can really use you. I was like, oh, wow, George's name gets me places, apparently. And yeah, I had the match with Necro, and he punched the crap out of me. I had 3 knots on the side of my head from him punching me.
Oh, he's terrible. A real nice guy, though.
Super nice dude. Really intelligent. Freakishly intelligent, actually.
Yeah. And now, after you you do that match, and what does it lead to? Does it lead to, you know, Pierce saying, you know, you're on my radar? When's your next chance in ROH?
Actually, I had never been talked to after that, since then. Like, I remember I had the match with Necro. Everyone was like, oh, you're like the mini Kenny King, because I had, you know, the buzz cut, and I did a lot of Kenny's moves, apparently.
And so, you're black.
Yeah, that too. So yeah. I did
a racist ROH.
So terrible.
Was Gino running it at the time?
No, I don't think Gino was around at that time. Let's see, I did that, and then 6 months later, they came to Charlotte for the Big Bang pay-per-view, and I had just, you know, did an extra thing, because I was with High Spots, and they used their ring, so I was there by coincidence or whatever, and then Pierce stopped booking, and Hunter remembered me. Should I say that? Or Delirious, whatever. Should I say that? I don't know.
Yeah. As long as you don't see his face, I think it's okay.
Okay, well, the Booker.
I never know how to refer to him either.
Yeah, I'm not sure how to say it, but the person who was now booking took over, and he remembered my face and said, "Hey, I remember seeing you work Necro, whatever, whatever. Would you like to have a pre-show match?" I was like, "Yes."
Yeah.
So it was like for the next year and a half. So like the next year and a half, I was doing pre-show matches like every 6 months for ROH, whether it was in Virginia or North Carolina, and I think I did a couple of Philly ones too, but it was usually West Virginia, Virginia, North Carolina, like, and they happened every 6 months or so. And it was 2011 when they emailed me and said, "Hey, we'll do this thing with you at Priest. How do you feel about that?" Yeah, jump on that.
No, you didn't really know Caprice before ROH, did you? Or weren't you guys a team? If I remember, you guys were never really a team until ROH, right?
Nope. Me and Caprice had met maybe three times before then, but we had, you know, talked a little bit. We had been on like a couple shows and said, "Hey, if people keep seeing us hang around each other, they're gonna put us in a tag team." And I was like, "Ah, ha ha, yeah, we're whatever, funny." And 2 years later, there you go.
And it's funny because, you know, you guys aren't very much alike. And, after a couple of weeks together, you go, "Wait a second, like, I don't know how these guys got put together. They're very different people." And it's not like a bad thing. It's just, you know, you're much younger than him. You're 25. I think Caprice is 37.
Yep, 37.
Yeah. And, you know, he's a preacher. You're 25. And, you know, it's just, you know, we live different lives. So, but you guys made a great tag team and, mostly pushed into the mid card. Now, did you expect anything when, you know, things would start going up? Because it always seemed like you guys were in the mix for the tag team titles, whether it was, Charlie Haas and Shelton Benjamin, or me and Jimmy, or the Briscoes. You guys were always end up with title shots. Did you ever think that there was a time when, like, you know, they're going to pull the plug and put the belts on us? Because once you answer that, then I'll tell you what I thought.
Okay. Well, in my mind, and I'm sure Caprice would agree, there are at least three different occasions where we, like, in our minds, we knew that we were going to be tag champs. When the whole Kenny King thing situation happened and, you know, they had a vacant tag titles and we did the tournament, we were like, okay, if we don't win, we'll at least go to the finals and it'll be awesome. But then, you know, that didn't happen. We're like, okay, well, maybe not now. And then, I think it was a time where it was a three-way match. It was us, Scum. Oh,
yeah, here? It was us, Scum, and the Briscoes.
Yeah, I can't remember. Yeah, it was us, you guys, and the Briscoes in that three way. And we're like, okay, it'll happen here because, like, the Briscoes can't really use another title shot. They've had it like 10 times. And we're like, okay, so it's got to be us. We got to be tag champs. And we're like, okay, well, no, not then either. And they're like, all right, well, fine. Then we're like, okay, cool. So we got to be tag champs by, I believe it was Best in the World. We had another three way. It was us, Rhett, and who was the other guy in Scum that time? I can't remember.
I'm trying to think who he was teaming with. It wasn't Rave.
It was Cliff.
It might have been Cliff, yeah.
It was Cliff. It was us, Cliff, Rhett, and Red Dragon. And we're like, okay, this is the time. We're like the most over tag team in this thing right now, so we got to win. Nope, that didn't happen either. I was like, all right, you know what? Screw it. If it wasn't going to happen then, it wasn't going to happen at all in my mind. Because I thought Baltimore was like our most over town that we were most over in, so I figure if it was going to happen anywhere, that's where it would happen.
Exactly, and there was times, you know, when me and Jimmy weren't even going to be in the tag team tournament. That's the funny thing. One day I got a call from Hunter that says, "Hey, look, we need you and Jimmy to sign contracts because we're going to put you guys in the tournament and put you guys up." And I'm thinking, oh, that's so weird because I would think that they would put Caprice and Cedric up. And then I'm thinking, okay, and we originally got told that we were going to drop the belts at Final Battle to the Wolves. Yeah, that the Wolves were going to come back together and we would get drop the belts from them. Then within a month of our reign, they said, we're not going to do the Wolves. It's probably just going to be you guys, Caprice and Cedric, at Final Battle and we'll switch the belts there. And I'm like, okay, cool, you know, because, you know, there's times when I'm like, you know, we're having these matches together and I'm like, guys, this is, you know, this is going to get us to the next one because we're just building it up to, because I think we did a couple DQs and, you know, it's okay, you guys will get your thing back at Final Battle. And then they're like, yeah, Briscoe's up. And I went, oh, that's weird. You know, that's so darn weird. And
that's what I thought too. It was just, I was like, well, so why do all these screw finishes and then we get nothing out of it?
Yeah, exactly. And I thought, oh, that's so weird. And Jimmy said the same thing. Jimmy's like, huh, that's weird. Like, why, you know, sometimes Hunter's booking is, sometimes it's so, you know, obvious that this was the time it was supposed to be. And then, you know, he pulls it away because everybody would know it. So it just, I was like, oh shit. And there was another thing where I thought Best in the World, you guys were gonna get it. I thought even knowing that you guys were gonna break up, I thought, you know what, they're gonna pull a you know, a fast one, and you know, that's gonna be great. You know, in your last match, you guys will finally get the belts. And no, I was like, oh shit, it's just weird. So, you know, now being a singles guy, do you feel more comfortable as a singles wrestler or as a tag wrestler?
Well, honestly, that's kind of a hard question to answer because I really do enjoy tag team wrestling, but also enjoy being a singles guy because I like to push my, you know, creativity of seeing, okay, what can I do in this match that can be different from the next one? And tag wrestling is so easy to do that, but and singles matches, I find it a little more difficult. So I like trying to think, okay, how can I be more creative now than I was last time? But I don't think there's really a preference. I could do either or. If I'm feeling out of shape and unwilling to go 20-minute match, I'd rather do a tag. Save my breath if I can. But
no, I love a tag match. But now, what do you consider, you know, because not only do you wrestle for Ring of Honor, but you've really made a name for yourself in other promotions, you know, including PWG in California, PWX in Charlotte. You know, 5 years gone by. You know, five years doesn't seem like a lot of time if you're like, oh, well, he's only been wrestling 5 years. 5 years, you've done a lot in 5 years. You've done more than a lot of guys are going to do in 15. What do you consider your best match so far?
My best match so far? Man, I would have to say, man, that's a tough one because I have so many favorites. I really, really enjoyed the tag match that me and Caprice had against the Wolves in Asheville because I think it helped show that we're not just some hey tag team guys. We can actually, you know, go for 25, 30 minutes with, you know, two of the best guys in the company. And I also thought that me and AJ from PWX was awesome.
Absolutely. Was I thought you and Jay Lethal from PWX was awesome.
PWX, I have some of my best matches there because those are the matches that people will take a chance on me on, whereas I feel that some other people are kind of like, we don't feel he's that guy yet, which, you know, like for example, in ROH, I don't think I'm that guy just yet, so like I don't think they're willing to, you know, completely invest in me, whereas PWX, I've been there so long and I helped start with the company, so they'll just throw things at me saying, all right, make it happen, you know, and I feel more comfortable in high pressure situations like that. And I thought Tommaso from PWX was awesome, and me and AJ from ROH recently was actually, me and Kyle, what's the one match we had, it was in Tennessee, I thought that was an awesome match. It felt awesome to me, I thought.
Now, what's your goals? Is, you know, of course, you know, winning gold in ROH should be something like that, but where do you see yourself in 10 years?
10 years from now. Okay, let's see. 10 years from now.
You'll be 35.
I'll be 35. Yeah. My daughter will be 10 years old. I've been in wrestling for 15 years at that point. Hopefully, in 10 years from now, I would be either in WWE making millions of dollars, or I would be at least traveling the world on a constant basis. Because contrary to popular belief, a whole lot of fans believe I've been doing this for ever, and I've been to Japan and England and da 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 da, which I've never actually left this continent yet. So if I can make it a regular thing, going from Japan to England and so on and so forth, that's my ultimate goal, is to solely produce everything I have off wrestling.
It's funny that you had said about the international experience, because we have a question from a fan. Dan, if you would like to pop in here and read a question for Cedric.
Yeah, absolutely. This one coming from a multiple-time offender, if you will, to our broadcast. It's at JD Virgilio 4. He writes to you, Cedric, who would you like to face when Ring of Honor goes to England for the ROH versus PCW shows?
Ooh, Ever since that show was announced, I've been looking into it, and one guy that really really keeps popping up on my radar, so to speak, is El Ligero.
El
Ligero, thank you. Now I'm saying it correctly. El Ligero. He's one guy that keeps popping up into my head, and I think me and him could have an amazing match. I think that'd be awesome.
Absolutely, and I've known Ligero for 8-9 years when I was booking 1PW over in England. He was one of my underneath guys. He was just breaking in at the time, but man, he gets it. And I think, you know, hopefully what PCW will put you guys together, because I think you guys will tear it up. And Preston City Wrestling is where you guys where you'll be wrestling November 28 and 29. Three shows in 2 days. It's going to be amazing. Yeah, wait until you see the city of Preston is pretty cool, and where they put you up and stuff like that. The only thing is, and I told you this, you know, in private, in every place that you're going to go, try not to wear any like wrestling t-shirt, your ROH jacket, anything like that, because you're going to get this question. Are you a wrestler? Do you know Bad News Barrett? He's from this town. Did you know that? Every place, it didn't matter if it was McDonald's or the KFC or, you know, a dollar store I went in. Do you know the Bad News Barrett? He's from this town. I'm like, oh, Jesus Christmas. But, yeah, you'll have a lot of fun in PCW. Hey, next Sunday, the 21st, you'll be coming into Hubert, North Carolina for the Premier Wrestling Federation in the Legacy Cup. Very excited. Are you bringing the family?
Of course, I'm bringing the family. Bring them down to the beach so they can enjoy some nice quality beach time. Maybe my daughter's first time at the beach. So.
Oh, that'll be great. My wife asked me today, like, is Cedric bringing Ariel? I hope he brings Ariel. I'm like, yeah, I think he is. I'll ask him on the show. Yeah. So
of course, hey, I've got to bring her.
Right, you have to. You can't go to the beach without it. Now, our next question, I'll ask this one because this one's a funny one. This one is from @very_tall_man. At Steve Carino Show, ask Cedric if Andrew Everett is as much of a douchebag as he comes off in the ring, or is he just a really solid heel?
He's not a douchebag at all. He's actually a super nice guy. One of my best friends in wrestling. He's just when he gets to the ring, he's cocky, he's arrogant, you know? I mean, you gotta have a certain swagger about you when you get into a ring, and that's what Everett has. He believes in himself and he knows he's the man.
He is, and I definitely believe he's such a future star. I'm hoping when he comes back from the knee surgery that, you know, he's not going to miss a beat, because he's very smart. You know, he's been wrestling since he was 12, 13 years old, but he's been around it all his life, and he's just a good kid. You know, Colby thinks the world of him. I think the world of him. I literally watched him grow up, and hopefully that joke was just, you know, a funny, because, man, he is a good kid. Confident is the right term for him, not cocky, just confident. So
yeah,
you hit the nail on the head there, and he's just so talented. Hey, Cedric, where are you at this weekend?
This weekend, I am wrestling for PWX in, where are we at? Was that name of city? Was that name of city? Is it? I don't know.
I think it's Concord, is it?
Concord? No. Thomasville.
Thomasville, yes.
Be in Thomasville, and then we will be in Columbia, South Carolina for WrestleForce on Sunday afternoon.
Beautiful, and you can catch him there. Where can we find you on Twitter?
Cedric Alexander. It's super easy, super easy.
Very easy.
For the record, there is another guy that has Cedric Alexander ROH. That is not me.
Really? I have somebody that's like, when I got married, me and Jordan went King Carino, Queen Carino, and then some asshole took Steve Carino, and he doesn't even tweet. So like every once in a while, somebody will be like, you don't answer my tweets. And I'm thinking, why you never tweet me? Oh, yeah, like I went to Steve Carino. Oh, my God, Jesus Christ. Like, why would you just want to be somebody else? You know? Unless it's parody, so it's fun.
Yeah, it's not a parody, but like, man, I've had so many people like fake my Twitter handle or my Facebook page, and it's like, why? Like, this does nothing for you. You're just doing this to be a dick.
Oh, unbelievable! So, hey, you can make sure you follow Cedric Alexander at Cedric Alexander. That's all it is at Cedric Alexander. Hey, Cedric, thank you so much for coming on the Steve Carino show this week. I really appreciate it, and hope to have you back on again sometime in the future.
Let me know, man. I will be more than happy to do this again.
One day we got to get George South on.
Oh, brother, you let me know. I can make that happen ASAP.
Oh, I like it. We're going to definitely work on that.
I will get you to tell him the story of him naming every single one of his students some ridiculous kind of name.
Oh, I know. Jake always tells me about that. Yeah, definitely do that in the future. It's going to be great.
It's so good. Like, mine changed like 1,000 times. I went from Tommy Blackrich to Black Lesnar.
Black Lesnar. Then isn't Jake a Bullet?
Yeah, Jake's Bullet. And Kale Colley is Stan Lane. It's so good.
I love it. We got to definitely have George South on. Hey, Cedric, thank you so much for coming on.
No problem, sir. Anytime you let me know, I'll be glad to do it again.
Definitely. Hey, that was Cedric Alexander. And when we come back, we're going to have some Twitter love and some Q&A right here on the Steve Carino Show.
What's going on? This is the Godfather, Nate Milton, with an offer you cannot refuse. Each and every week you can join Marcus Vandenberg, Big Nasty Alfred Kunawa, and myself on the Kings of Sport podcast, available exclusively on placetobenation.com, your one-stop spot for the best in sports and pop culture.
Hey, sports fans, this is Dr. G for Extra Point, Place to Be Nation's traditional sports talk podcast. Every episode, Scott Criscullo and I talk everything from the Big Four leagues to all the hot sports news with exclusive guests and analysts. Email us your comments and questions at extrapoint@placetobenation.com. That's the Extra Point, exclusively on placetobenation.com.
Hey, sports fans, Cowboy here. Make sure you make your weekly stop by the Sports Lounge here on placetobenation.com, where the boys and I tackle all the hot topics in the world of sports. We go behind the numbers and provide in-depth expert analysis on Major League Baseball, MMA, NFL, and more. The seats fill up quick, so grab your favorite cigar, kick back, and join us in the Sports Lounge, only on placetobenation.com.
In Rhode Island and looking for great food and a fun atmosphere, we'll be sure to stop by Bonehead's Wing Bar, 131 Washington Street in West Warwick, with over 65 different wing sauces and dozens of sandwiches, burgers, and appetizers. In a fully stocked bar, Bonehead's has something for everyone. Boneheads also shows every WWE and UFC pay-per-view, features live music, weekly trivia, and much, much more. So, be sure to stop in, tell Matt and the crew that Place to Be Nation sent you, and become a Bonehead today.
Hey, this is Rob Naylor. Do you still enjoy pro wrestling? Believe it or not, I still do. So you better join myself and Will on the Google Wrestling Podcast, exclusively at PlaceToBeNation.com.
Shit, I wasn't ready. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening and shit. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening to guys talk about old school wrestling, Follow me and Charles on Wrestling with the Past podcast on Place to Be Nation.
On Richard and the Mailman, we talk about life with great enthusiasm, which eventually leads to disillusionment and inevitably hopelessness. But don't worry, there's lots of laughs along the way. So check us out every week or month or whatever on Richard and the Mailman.
What's up, wrestling fans? This is Jeff Peck, and you can check out my wrestling podcast, The Still Real to Us Show, every Saturday right here at placetobenation.com. It is a wrestling podcast from a fan's perspective, and we're not doing it in our mom's basement. So check it out every Saturday right here at placetobenation.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Looking for new wrestling, sports, and pop culture voices? Head over to placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. We have an extremely talented staff that covers comics, video games, and all facets of entertainment. Our sports coverage spans all the major professional and collegiate sports, including MMA. Our fresh takes on professional wrestling are some of the best on the internet. Also, be sure to check out our friends at thehistoryofwwe.com, prowrestlingonly.com, Scott Keith blog at rspwfaq.net, and piledriverwrestling.net.
The King of Old School, and Dan, too, on the Steve Corino Show. King, take it away.
Hey, we're back for our final segment on this week's Steve Corino Show. After being away for a week, I really expected more questions. Come on. Come on, you dumb shits. Let's do this.
You know what I noticed? Steve, you know what I noticed? The producer with only a couple hundred Twitter followers, even with some well-placed retweets, doesn't necessarily move the needle as far as getting questions. But the moment you actually send out an actual tweet from yourself, or even the Steve Corino Show Twitter, that needle starts to move. We start to get a little bit. If we do a little bit each week, not necessarily the day of or the day before, I think those questions will really start to flow.
And, that's the thing, like, we always answer everybody's question. Mm. Why not just, why not just send them in?
You know, I asked one of our regulars, not Virgilio, but one of our other regulars, I go, hey, if you got anything, we're back this week after taking last week off. And he goes, oh, I don't want to necessarily burn it out, because I don't want to necessarily do feedback every single week. And I'm like, well, you had been before. What changed?
Yeah. Right? Turd. Hey, do we have music this week?
Oh, I believe we do. They had a hard act to follow, but you know what? They had 2 weeks to prepare for this, so I'm really holding out hope for this week.
All right. I'm ready. Let me take the sweat off my palms and go.
She's the only one I got.
I mean, that's not bad for being off for 2 weeks.
Right, yeah. You expect that, they would have something really, really planned out and ready to go. And, you got to be in the right mood, though, for something like this. You can't just rush into it.
I totally believe you're right. So, let's get to it here. We got... I'll start it off with JGreeny2179. What content that isn't on the WWE Network would you guys like to be added at some point? Awesome question, JGreeny2179. For me, and I know it's not possible because the rights and people say that the tapes were destroyed, I would love to see Georgia Championship Wrestling pop up on the network. I was a big fan of it as a kid and just loved it. So that's what I wish would pop up. Of course, Mid-South Championship Wrestling. I would love to see them, purchase a New Japan or All Japan, library, or if they just got with the guys that you know, have wrestled for the WWE that, you know, ended up going to Japan, like seeing Ted DiBiase's Japanese matches or Jimmy Snuka's Japanese matches and, you know, maybe specials on that. But those are just little things. I think the WWE Network is absolutely amazing and so much worth more than the $9.99 that they charge. And people, like, shit on them for you know, pushing it so hard and this, but it really is only $9.99, and it's just, you know, people find shit to bitch about. Dan, what would you like to see more on?
I'd like to have some of the other territories, you know, to fill in some gaps, to see some guys that, you always hear stories like this, well, you know, if you saw the Bushwhackers back before they went to WWF, I mean, they were hideous, they were wretched, they were evil, and I was like, you know, those are the sorts of things that I'd like to see, not necessarily them per se, but some of these other territories. I really marked out back in the day watching AWA on ESPN, so you know, I wouldn't mind seeing things like that, stuff up in like Portland, if it even exists anymore. Just, you know, those sorts of territories that I don't necessarily go out of my way to see. And I like what you said before about some like the international stuff, if they ever did have access to that. That would be fantastic. So, like, the original programs I enjoy a lot. NXT is always a must-watch on the weekly basis. I don't find many complaints with it. I mean, there's certain things, like watching it on my iPad is a little different from watching it on my Roku, and there's not, like, a way that if I'm watching it on one device, it'll stay in the same spot on the other. But other than that, those sort of technical things, I think it's a slam dunk, a home run, a grand slam, if you will.
Absolutely. I mean, there's so many things that they can do, and who knows, they might already be planning on doing it, so it'll be, people just need to relax and watch it, enjoy it. Like, it's going to take you a lifetime to get through what they got now. You know, don't bitch about what's going on. What do you got?
I got at X Matthew Parker X. He writes, how do you think WWE can salvage the Adam Rose character, and what are your personal opinions on that particular story and that particular man, the wrestler, the character in general? What say you?
Me, I thought it was the greatest character in years when I saw it on NXT. Here's my problem, and I had said it before. They talk during his intro. Hmm. And it kills the whole party vibe. Also, it's supposed to be a rave and a party and all these, like, crazy characters and stuff like that. Why don't they turn the lights off?
Right.
When he comes down, and just put the emphasis on the dancers and stuff like that. I think they totally killed it by talking during the intro, and it's almost like they do it on purpose.
Mm.
And it's a shame.
Yeah.
It's absolutely a shame.
I almost think, and now if you've been watching recently, they've now put a lot of the focus on the bunny, and the bunny getting involved and attacking Heath Slater and the super kicks and the big splash and that sort of thing. And now it's starting to create internet buzz about, well, who is the bunny and yada doo-da, even though the bunny looks like he's anorexic and I couldn't imagine him hurting anything. But it's almost like they're putting the focus away from Adam Rose, and now it's on, well, who's the bunny? Why is the bunny attacking these guys? What's going on? What will he do next? And it's almost reminiscent of the Los Matadors. Like, it was supposed to be a, you know, Mexican-themed, you know, very over-the-top gimmick, but it was supposed to be about the tag team, and then within day one of its inception, it became about the Torito character. It became about the baby bull running around and causing trouble and distracting the, you know, and their faces, and they have this little guy distracting and causing the changes and the decisions and matches. Well, now you have Adam Rose, who's, you know, already, you know, seemingly popular enough as is with his crew of crazies. And next thing you know, it's all about the bunny. I don't understand it.
I don't either. It's a shame because I think it's a money-making gimmick.
Well, it certainly was down in that, you know, in the college crowd in NXT. It was huge. It was one of the more popular attractions. I mean, that guy had been, you know, doing another completely different gimmick, and it wasn't like he was doing the Adam Rose gimmick for terribly long before he was called up and doing it at the big stage. So,
and he went from Leo Kruger to Adam Rose almost overnight. And there's a promo on there where on YouTube where he talks about, like, you know, how he'll never, like, basically, I'm paraphrasing, but never wants to be a sports entertainer, and they'll never break him and stuff like that. And then next week he's Adam Rose. It totally brilliant.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now our next question, the last question. Ooh, and this is a good one. I should have prepared, but I think you'll like my list. At Jadice 7, which is Jadice number 7. It says, at Steve Korean Show, Steve and Dan, what are your top 5 movies of all time? Ooh, here we go. Me, number 1, Field of Dreams. It's always going to be Field of Dreams. Kevin Costner, James Earl Jones. Dad, Do You Want to Have a Catch? Always still. It's a tear in my eye. Number 2, Frozen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, me and Beck watched it again today. Number 3, Somewhere in Time. I don't know if anybody knows that one, but it's Christopher Reeve, Jane Seymour. Definite top 3. Let me see here. Rocky 2 would probably be my number 4. And my number 5 would definitely be Blazing Saddles.
Mm.
How about you?
Yeah, this is tough. The thing that I was trying to think of when I was coming up with my list was, do I just go with, like, the usual all-time favorites? Like, do I just, you know what, Godfather, you know, that sort of thing. And I didn't want to do that. I was kind of aiming like you. Like, if I was to only have 5 movies to watch, what would I choose? And I guess in no particular order. I agree with you on Field of Dreams. Like, if I'm going to pick a baseball movie, that's the one, certainly. And this is, that's not number 1, but it's just one of the top 5, so gotta go there. I love the movie Gladiator. I everything from the score to the action at the end and Russell Crowe's performance. Just a movie I can just watch all the time, even if it is kind of over the top violent. But I enjoy it a lot. I really enjoyed the first Pirates of the Caribbean movie before it became, like, super huge and commercial and all that. It probably always was commercial, but I just remember when it came out just thinking, man, Johnny Depp's amazing. It just keeps my attention all the time. He's so funny. Such an over-the-top performance. Really enjoyed that greatly. The fourth one I really had a hard time with, looking back. I mean, there's certainly some good ones like Office Space and that, this and that, but the movie, the ensemble cast in the movie Snatch, I don't know if you ever saw that with...
No, you're pulling out some ones where that I've never seen. I've never seen Pirates of the Caribbean, believe it or not.
Oh, yeah. See, that's, you know what, that should be like, you know how you gave me the homework assignment of Frozen? You should just pop in Pirates of the Caribbean. They've made like 3 others or 4 others, but I think the original is still the best of the grouping. But Snatch is really good too. That has a huge ensemble cast. It's a British movie. Finally, there's only one movie that I make a point of watching at least once a year on the same day, and that is Christmas Eve, and that movie is It's a Wonderful Life. That one probably is number 1 all time, in my opinion. I watch it every year, the same time, with the same people, and it always elicits the same emotions, laughter, tears, all kinds of good stuff. So that's definitely probably in my pantheon number 1.
Wow, so it's some good picks there. You know, in a top 5 really doesn't do me, so much. There's so many that are out there that, you know, I could pick for a Bull Durham in Major League and For the Love of the Game and Rocky Balboa. They, of course, Goodfellas. I mean, there's so many out there. The pick 5 is so tough. You know, I could probably run down a top 100 one day. It would take so much time, but
yeah, my honorable mention might be even stronger than my top 5. I mean, I don't know if you ever, speaking of Russell Crowe, Cinderella Man, I really enjoyed that.
Never saw that either.
And the Back to the Future movies, I've always was a huge fan of those, even when I was young, and now when I'm a little bit older, I still enjoy watching those as well.
Hmm. Nice. So let's get some love in here. Bauer Sox number 2 says, oh, this was your turn. I'm sorry. At Steve Curran Show, at Real Kevin Kelly, finally sat down and listened to this episode with you too. Let me just say, it was pure heaven. Hashtag greatness. Hey, me and KK got quite the chemistry, as you can hear every week. Ring of Honor wrestling, if you don't get it in your town, and some people don't, like me, go to ROHWrestling.com, watch that shit. Tell me on Twitter how great I am. I had a couple great lines. You were watching the iPay-per-view. Did you hear Rush Hour 4?
I did hear Rush Hour 4. Got a huge kick out of that.
I was so proud of that one.
Oh, Kevin was kind of mortified when you said it, but I'm now never going to see those two together and not think Rush Hour 4.
And it's great because the music came on, I saw them come out, and I looked at Kevin, and I tapped him on the leg. I go, I got one. And he just, like, looked at me, and as soon as Bobby Cruz, like, announced them, I hit the line, and he just dies, you know, like, he's like, oh, God, I got to put up with this. In Canada, everybody loves the freaking sharpshooter, so, and I just got so tired of everybody went to it, and, they would go for the sharpshooter, blah, 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 and there it is. So I said, man, Ricky Choshu is real popular in Canada. that got me a few tweets. So that'll be good. What else we got?
We got at Bama 24/7, 24_7_365. He must be a big Auburn fan. No, I'm just kidding. Anyway, he writes at King Carino, at Steve Carino Show, at Cedric Alexander. He just writes simply, Cedric is badass. Now, obviously, he thinks Cedric is badass, but he must have been able to see into the future because he wrote this before our show. And, yeah, Cedric was an excellent guest this week. I couldn't think of anybody better to fill that spot than Cedric Alexander this week.
Oh, absolutely. He did a great job and... Always a big fan of Cedric Alexander. Hey, I'm just reading that Sean O'Hare died, apparently, but who knows? Who knows if that's true? Were you a big Sean O'Hare fan?
You know, I didn't really see too much of Sean O'Hare, and then in kind of recapping things for Place to Be Nation during the Invasion storyline, he just sort of came and went. So I can't honestly say I have too many... big recollections of matches I remember him being in, unfortunately. But you never like to see or hear about anybody going before their time, you know?
Yeah, it's just, you know, one of those things like, I don't know, like, I never, he was never very personable to me, but, you know, it doesn't mean he has to die. I could pick a bunch of other people that I'd rather have die. But, yeah, what a shame. Hope it's not true. At Steve Willie 34, Ice Pumpkin Spice Latte from Copper Rock Coffee starts the day. At Dean McGee 4881, hashtag Ice Coffee Gang.
Yeah, apparently a new faction is forming at Place to Be Nation. Steve Willie, who you can hear quite regularly on the Place to Be Nation main event every other Wednesday they record. They usually come out with their show on Thursday night. Anyway, he's a big iced coffee guy. Jason Greenhouse is another big-time fan and one of our big social media mavens, as it were, on Place to Be Nation. He's a big iced coffee guy. So when Fish Approved, I believe, followed me because we both like iced coffee all year round, it apparently has started a revolution, as it were. And I don't know if I'm the head of the faction, Steve, but, you know, certainly if you want another bandwagon to jump on, I'm your guy.
I'm not. I'm going to jump on the Patriots, but let's say I like my coffee hot. I like my coffee like I like my women hot. Hey, this weekend I will be in England for the Hearts and Essex Wrestling promotion in Essex, England. Always a good time there. Make sure you come out, see a couple shows, buy a couple shirts. It's going to be a great time. My buddy Sam Neat puts together a real fun show and a real fun weekend. It's one of the only times that I stay at someone's house. I stay at Frankie DeFalco's house in Milwaukee, and I stay at Sam Neat's house. And his parents house where he lives. His dad is a collector of World War II memorabilia. Now, that could be like guns and shit like that. Nope, he's got tanks in this on this property, and it's really cool. He's got owls. He has like all these weird animals. There's a good chance that he's a hiding Nazi because he's got all this crazy shit going on there. But that's what I got going on this weekend. What about you?
Not a whole lot, to be honest with you. I've been kind of pushing it the last couple weekends. We had our big Labor Day bash a couple weeks ago with up here in Marlboro, Mass. Beautiful Marlboro, Mass. God's country, they call it. But I think I might take it easy, you know, take the dog out, do a little fall cleaning. And, of course, because I'm a football guy, every Sunday, you know I got something going on there. But, I picked up the other day, because you know me, I'm not dating really. I picked up the Paul Heyman DVD, so maybe I'll be able to blitz through that pretty quickly as well.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I haven't seen it yet, and I'm hoping to one day see it. One of these days I'll get to it. You know, I'm still watching Frozen every other. Every other day. But
actually, that brings up a good story, because I believe I was going to text you. It was the day that last Tuesday we didn't record, as you know, we've been talking about it all show. I was flipping the channels, and I came across something called like the Making of Frozen Special, and I almost texted you to say.
It was great.
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to say. I was like, hey, man, are you going to watch this instead of doing the show? But then I never did. And then I went on Facebook a little bit while later, and I see this thing saying, watching the Frozen Making of Special. I'm like, okay, you didn't need my... You already knew about this.
And it was great because the baby was, like, sleeping on the couch until he heard, do you want to build a snowman? And he pops up from a sleep. He's like, wait a second. So, what a great movie that is. Hey, you can follow me on Twitter at King Carino. My website, worldofcarino.com. Don't forget to go to prowrestlingtees.com/Steve Carino. Buy one of the 6 Carino shirts that are up for sale. PWF returns to Hubert next Sunday, the 21st, for the Legacy Cup tournament. We're bringing that back, so that shit's going to be awesome. ProWrestlingPWF.com. Make sure you follow at PWF Legacy. That would be really cool. Dan, where can they find you?
They can find me, and based on the numbers, you haven't been, at dmcg4881, dmcg4881. That is your source for updates on the show and all kinds of other different musings, pictures. Steve and I sometimes talk. It happens sometimes when we're not on this show. There's also, we're not kidding about this, guys. There actually is a little thing going on right now. You just send a picture. It doesn't matter. You just have to be female at this point. Just send a picture. We'll have a little fun. We're trying to find a significant other, or at least a date, with me. The ante has been raised. You know, not only do you get Chuck's book, you get something. You promised something too, didn't you, Steve?
I did.
Of some retweets, at least.
Yeah.
But, the dating pool is going dry a little bit. I went on, actually, Steve, I didn't tell you this. I went on a date last week during our off week, as it were. And I believe I told you on Twitter, the best part of the whole date was the chicken supreme that I ate. So that just goes to show what we're working with right now.
So you didn't get any, like, over the shirt? No, not a little, you know, dry hump, nothing?
No, I got a whole lot of nothing and liked it. Maybe not liked it, but anyway, back to the cheap plugs. Raw Report, Raw Recap, as it were, comes out Monday night in the wee hours, where it's kind of unedited, untouched. Kind of like myself, but when it gets edited, it's a thing of beauty, so definitely check that out. We did 3 hours. We made fun of Jerry Springer and Bella's, and really talked up Night of Champions, which is looking like a pretty loaded card, and check that out, placetobenation.com.
Hey, we'll be back next week with a whole fresh show for the our 20th, number 20. Can you believe that? We've made it to 20 already.
Yeah, man. I mean, pretty soon this show will be old enough to drink.
Oh, holy shit, right? When do we stop it? But, yeah, we'll be back 20th. We'll hopefully have a guest. I'll figure it out. Who knows? Maybe we'll have a guest from England or something. But, yeah, we'll have some fun. So, hey, for Dan McGinn, this is Steve Carino, and you've been listening to The Steve Carino Show.
Thank you for listening to The Steve Carino Show. Download the new episode every Friday at placetobenation.com. Get up, get on up, get up.